Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us this afternoon. Hello, sir.
Hi there. How's everybody doing?
We are just delightful. Watching the weird weather go in and out of everything today, but you know, other than that,
it is
fine.
Weird. It is weird. It is definitely, but you know, I hope you guys can't hear that. Somebody's car alarm is going off in the background. Fantastic. Nope. Anyway, it's totally strange, but I'm glad that we went to Kennebunk for the weekend to see my parents, and we came home, and my everything is brown. So I'll take whatever precipitation that I can get. Honestly, that was very funny that I was listening to the show. As I always, every day. You went into a segment and you came out of it, and you know, within that segment, we had another inch of rain. It was quite unruly. I hope everybody is well. Kind of an odd tide. I we're going to talk about northeastern Italy today for anybody listening. But right before this, I was hoping I wouldn't miss the segment because our friend Bob Cutler of Novios texted me. He said, "Are you at the shop?" I said, "No, I'm at home briefly because I'm doing Rich's show, and then I have to head out to band practice, socially distanced, of course." And Bob said, "I want to share some wines with you." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, always interested what you're bringing in, especially since he's doing a primarily French-driven menu, as I recall, and he's bringing in specifically some of the, you know, some great French wines to accompany it." And he texted me, I said, "Interested, you know, picture," and he sent me a picture. And he sent me a picture of my favorite Syrah of all time.
Ooh.
And I basically had given up on seeing it up here, but it is carried by our friends at Easterly Wines, who have nothing but the finest of wines in their portfolio. They're located down in Belfast, and so I immediately wrote to our mutual wine rep, Sigrid, and I said, "This is literally my favorite Syrah." So I talked to Bob. I said, "You know, what did you take of it?" So I'm very hopeful that I get the rest of it, essentially.
Oh, that would be excellent.
There's not much. But it's a Syrah and it's a Viognier. So let me step back a little bit and just explain a little bit. We are in such a horrendous time, obviously, right? I mean, I don't want to paint it with a pretty brush stroke, but it's a time when wines are coming into the sphere of Maine that are really, really good. I mean, it's a shame because we really don't have the capacity to even take all of it. But I love that my better distributors like Easterly that I mentioned are trying to bring in even just a little bit and just, you know, make a little toehold so that, you know, we can say, well, you know, when we did bring this in, it sold out instantly because you make the best wine on earth. So it's just, you know, for people kind of wondering, you know, what's going on in the immediate wine universe here, I'm very interested. So this is a producer called Vernay, V-E-R-N-A-Y. And again, I used to work with it in New Jersey. I never thought I'd see it again. And I'm hopeful that I can get what I asked for or even a little bit. And it will be definitely my sort of wine of the week feature next week, just because it's so good. And not expensive. It's sort of one of those, like, we've talked about them before on the show, where you have producers that have vineyards that are off the beaten path, not in an official, you know, designation, appellation, denominazione, whatever it is, where you're going to find unbelievable value that only the winemaker, because they grew up there, knows. You know, they, like, grew up riding their bicycle past it. And when they grew up, said, you know what, that has the same inclination and southwest leaning and sun that my really expensive vineyard does about a kilometer from here. So just it's very, very exciting time, despite the sad times. Anyway,
and I have a question, too. Did I see within the last 24 hours perhaps some positive news regarding tariffs?
It depends what you mean by positive news. They didn't change anything.
Okay.
I know. We're in the time when maintaining the status quo is a victory.
It didn't go from bad to worse.
Much like the Postal Service news today.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
We're now, oh, you're all really pissed off about that? Oh, really? Yeah, we are all of us really, really pissed off about it. So they've maintained the existing 25% tariffs that exist on many wines from the European Union. They have decided not to increase or decrease at present time, and without, you know, expressing obvious political leanings, I am hoping that should the situation change administration-wise, that all of this will be normalized and our friends in Europe will be friends again, as opposed to whatever they are exactly right now. We're probably going to waste all the time on this, but that's fine. We can talk about Italy anytime. It's not going anywhere. So here's the innate problem, right? The issue of tariffs and of mishandling of this has been blunted cost-wise and wallet-wise, right? We all vote with our wallets, essentially, and talk with our wallets, is that COVID caused this massive deflation in the overall industry. So even though retailers are up, they account for, you know, probably worldwide, maybe 30 to 40% of all consumption. Maybe, right? So there's no way that retailers could have ever picked up the slack of what basically having people not be able to go on their streets in Verona, amongst other places, which was one of the horrible hotbeds of this. It caused a fictitious deflation, so that right at the time when I was warning everybody legitimately, folks, you're about to see costs go up on wines from France, well, all of a sudden wines from France or anywhere went down, and we were there, everybody's dumping everything. I mean, I have deals at my store right now that are stupid, and hint, hint, folks, go out and buy now. I mean, I've got some wines right now that, you know, they just wouldn't be dumped like that. They would be at five-star restaurants because they belong at five-star restaurants. So it's like, and library release sort of stuff. I mean, it was interesting when importers finally sort of pulled back their curtains and showed, well, actually, this is what we have in inventory, and frankly, we have to pay our electric bills. And you're like, why do you have all these vintages of these things? I mean, I was being sent spreadsheets of things that people had to move because no doubt it was destined for, you know, your Primo, your Innit Little Washington, your Per Se, your whatever it is, you know. So it's been a dynamic shift that all of a sudden sort of disguised the fact that these tariffs have been in place. So should life return to normalcy and the current tariffs maintain, you know, or stay in place, I should say, it's going to be a problem, but only then. But there's going to be there's another vintage that's being harvested, you know, right now to within weeks of now. We're not even talking about that. Normally, we should be talking about veraison, which is the French word for sort of revealing the truth, right? This is when red grapes turn red. They've all sort of been this green right now. I mean, everything is changing. Harvests are going to be done real soon. There's going to be another whole harvest that is not going to go anywhere. So prices are going to be deflated artificially for a while. And maybe it'll cover up this administration's gaffe. I don't know. But that's the reality of all that. And you're right to bring it up, and I thank you for bringing it up. It's something that sort of, it weighs on my mind, but I don't want to get too into it. But what the hell, right?
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that's the reality of it. It's a strange time, and I'm sure that others, you know, feel this way who have I don't want to say thrived. I mean, I'm not retiring tomorrow because of what's going on. But, you know, the wine geek in me certainly has thrived. I mean, our wine of the week last week, which was the Sanguinetto Rosso, you know, very hard to get. This, you know, who knows how many vintages will even be left. But what a dynamic wine. And I got to get, you know, multiple cases of it, which does not happen. You know, this thing. So, I guess this is my admonishment to people. Maybe take advantage of it, right? I mean, try some new things. Go in, and it doesn't have to be me. If you're listening in Blue Hill, go to Max or Sawyer Specialties or Meridian or whatever. These people who really care up here in Northern Maine, there's not that many of us, but we're all probably getting offered these really neat things that, for many of us, you know, having been in the trade so long, make us giddy. You know, it's kind of rare air right now that we're living in, so maybe take advantage of it. It's kind of fun. That said, I hope all this horribleness goes away and we can go back to being, you know, Maine. But for now, it's pretty neat. So, I guess that is to say next week we'll talk more about Italy.
All right. While we're off track then.
Yeah.
You posted a picture of what looked like some delicious items from right down the road in Newcastle, Maine.
Right. Oh, the curds?
I'm looking at salami sticks.
Oh my gosh. Oh, those new, that one. I was going to say, because the curds aren't for there. Yeah. So this is, I mean, you know, occasionally you get offered oddities. And so my in-laws are particularly conservative in their tastes. I mean, they love all the best stuff, but they're hesitant to go out on a limb. And I brought down the pineapple in particular. They have these, they're beef jerky, you know, but they're all natural and they're wonderful. And they have a pineapple one, and they have a jalapeno one, and they have an uncured bacon, which is back ordered, but that'll be in soon. The pineapple drew raves. This is wonderful. And extraordinarily, you know, good. I mean, you know, nitrate free and such. We also have a fennel sausage and a red wine bathed sausage from them. They're all wonderful. None of them are particularly overly assertive. The jalapeno is not, you know, inedible for people. Oh, I don't do spice. No, I really think they must have done a very good job sort of, you know, going out. It's obviously it's not a huge operation, so they didn't, you know, bring in a national tasting panel. But I'm sure, you know, when they were going out, you know, they sourced and said, you know, what do you guys think? Is everything we had lots of people try them over the course of you know 2 weeks of you know they sent us some samples and people really liked them. So yeah, we brought in basically you know their whole lot. So yeah, I encourage you folks to try that. Try our wine of the week as well, the Gran Sasso Montepulciano d'Abruzzo, fantastic wine for not a lot of money, but you know one of the sort of cornerstones of Italian wine. And as I promised, we will get back to Italian wine on this segment next week. But I'm glad we got to talk a little bit about the current dynamics of the wine industry because it's important that people keep up on that.
Yeah, I won't lead you astray next week, I promise.
No. I'm glad for it. Sometimes I need some direction. I can sort of prattle off wine facts ad nauseum, but I don't want to bore people, but these are things that, you know, affect their wallets and frankly, hopefully affect their voting choice in a small way, in a couple months. So speaking of which, I got my absentee ballot today, folks. I registered for it 2 days ago. It came today. So if that's something you're interested in, wicked easy.
There you go. Democracy. Record number of people have asked for them. So get in, Do it now. Don't wait around because funny things can happen. Eric, we thank you as always.
Cheers.
Have a great week.
Bye.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.